Good morning.
Good morning.
Need my glasses on to see the button.
I can relate.
Yes. As we continue in the book of Acts, we are in chapter 23. Take courage and testify. This is what I've called the sermon. Take courage and testify. Before we read the scripture, I'd just like to speak a little introduction about, have you ever been falsely accused? I've been accused many times. Most of the times I'm guilty. And I was trying to think of a story that I could say when I was wrongly accused. Well, I had to go back a long way. Right back to school. And I think this was my first experience when I got blamed and falsely accused for doing something that I hadn't done. And it was a terrible experience. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old in a school called Ryan Street in Bradford, West Yorkshire in England. And I was in the toilets, I came out of the toilets and I was washing my hands in the cloakroom, and somebody screamed out and ran out of the toilets with blood running all down their face and looked at me and ran away. And it was bizarre. I thought, I wonder what happened to him. Later on, maybe 20 minutes later, I'm summoned to the headmaster's office. Come on, admit it, you did it, boy. And I was perplexed. I really didn't know what he was talking about. But I remembered the boy running out the toilet covered in blood. And he said, it was you that threw the knife. What? What knife? I don't know what you're talking about. Come on. And this headmaster really grilled me to the point of tears. Because he blamed me for something that I hadn't done. But adjacent to the toilets, this was an old school building without a false ceiling, and there was another corridor, and somebody thrown a piece of cutlery over, and these sort of like stainless steel knives hit him on the head with a blunt end, fortunately, and it was just a small cut. But it was severe for an 8-year-old, and I ran all the way home and told my mum. And that was my first experience of being falsely accused. And I remember to this day how terrible it felt to be blamed for something that I hadn't done. And we just need to look to the Bible, to the life of Jesus Christ, how many times he was falsely accused. And the life of Paul, actually in this chapter 23, he's on trial at the Sanhedrin for something that he was innocent of. So let us read the scripture this morning. So Acts 23. Sorry, it starts at Acts 22 actually, verse 30. And this picks up from where Brian finished off last week. And we have this Roman guard, and this is what he said. But on the next day, desiring to know the real reason why he, Paul, was being accused by the Jews, he unbound him and commanded the chief priests and all the council to meet. And he brought Paul down and set them before them. And looking intently at the council, Paul said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before you, before God, in all good conscience, up to this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you a whitewashed wall. Are you sitting to judge me according to the law? And yet contrary to the law, you order me to be struck. Those who stood by said, would you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Now when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say, there is no resurrection, no angel, no spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Then a great clamor arose, and some of the scribes of the Pharisee party stood up and contended sharply. We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him? And when the dissension became so violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it will go forth to achieve what you sent it to accomplish. So pour out your spirit upon us. Give us ears to hear what your spirit says to this body, your church. In Jesus' name. Suffering is part of the Christian life. I'll just let that one sink in. Suffering is part of the Christian life. Jesus suffered. What a striking similarity there are in this passage. Jesus Christ also stood before the Sanhedrin, falsely accused, and was also condemned before he was tried. He was also punched in the face and also spat upon. The Bible tells us he was despised and rejected for us, a man of sorrows. He faced the cross and he scorned its shame, and he did that for us, for you and for me. But he did not stay dead. He did not stay down and out. He overcame. He did die, yes, but he rose again. He overcame death and hell, and because of that, we can be overcomers. And because of that resurrection power and the Holy Spirit outpouring at Pentecost, Paul was an overcomer. Paul suffered. Now Paul is on trial, but what are the charges against him? What are the charges against him? Well, last week, in the last chapter, Paul was testifying of his conversion on the Damascus Road. And he was testifying salvation by grace alone through Jesus Christ. It was through the death and resurrection of Christ, salvation by grace alone, not by the law. And this is what he was on trial for. Paul considered it an honor to share in the sufferings of Christ. When we suffer, do we consider it an honor that we would be like Jesus, that we could have the privilege of sharing in his suffering? To become like him, Paul says in Philippians, somehow that we would share in Christ's suffering. He was not caught in the snare that suffering was correlated to punishment, but to sonship. See, we sometimes have the idea when we are suffering or facing trials and tribulations that God is punishing us, but he is not. Yes, there is times when we are chastised and disciplined, but we're never punished. We never suffer in this way just for punishment's sake. Get my heart here. And it's subtle, but the difference is massive. God loves us and he's taken that punishment upon himself at the cross, that we wouldn't be eternally punished, but to be with him. But in this life, in between here and our final salvation, the kingdom of heaven, we have the privilege of sharing in his suffering. Do we count it a privilege? Or do we run away from it? Do we embrace it? Is it our friend? Or do we think God is punishing us? Do we think God is not happy with us? Do you remember Paul and Silas when they've been flogged and thrown in jail for no reason? Can anybody remember their response? I think they were crying. No, they wasn't crying?
No.
Can't hear you?
No.
No.
I can't hear you?
No.
No.
No, they were singing. Can you imagine that? Being flogged and imprisoned, and they were singing. That's just a bit of a mind bender, isn't it? They weren't having a pity party. They were singing praises to God that they could share in the suffering of Christ. They counted it such a privilege. They were worshipping him. I don't know. Sometimes I seem so far away. Paul had been imprisoned, he'd been flogged, stoned, beaten with rods, falsely accused, misunderstood, shipwrecked, abandoned, left for dead, and more. And never once anywhere in Scripture is it recorded that he complained. Many times it is recorded it is the opposite. He actually rejoiced in the suffering. Here it is. We will suffer. Either you are suffering, either you have suffered, or either you're going to suffer. Get used to it. Get over it. Previously in Acts 14, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. That is a promise you won't get sent on a card through the post. That's not something we'll stick up on Facebook. But it's a promise from God all the same. And when I was contemplating this message and thinking about it, how many times I've rejected the suffering. Oh, get behind me, Satan. And it was the very Spirit of God that led Jesus in the desert to be tempted. And it's God's will at times that we suffer, that we may become like him. What a wonderful privilege. If we could only change that mindset, that understanding, I think we would find so much freedom. Because suffering is not in vain. It is not some sick, demented, twisted God. It is for our good, that we may become mature and complete. Suffering was a part of Jesus Christ's early life. It was certainly a part of the apostles' life. And each person here knows the pain of their own heart. I remember a day, maybe 2 years ago, I was in a hospital room in Remedica and awaiting the results of a biopsy. And the doctor was so solemn. He said, "Please sit down, Mr. Hoskin. Bad news, I'm afraid. The biopsy is positive. You have cancer." And it was so surreal. The big C word. And I remember that day. And I thought, how am I going to tell my wife? How am I going to tell her that? And we all know the pain of our hearts, but we are overcomers. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Can death, can life, can angel, can demon? No, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I faced death right in the face, and I'll be honest, I didn't really want to go just yet. I didn't. There was no fear. The sting had been taken out. Because Paul said to die is gain. He would be with Christ. And I started to think of that transition. And there was a time I looked forward to. It actually became quite exciting. Really. I'm not just some sicko. Maybe you've had news that's rocked your world. God is not punishing you. I'll say it again. Maybe you've had some news that's rocked your world. God is not punishing you. He loves you so much. And through this experience that you're facing, He will conform you to the image of Christ. He will mold you and make you to be His own. We're not alone in our suffering. Christ, who suffered and shed every tear, is available for us. In the Psalms it said, every tear is bottled in heaven and recorded in His scroll. We are not alone in our sufferings. We have the Holy Spirit. We have each other, the body of Christ. If you are suffering, we are suffering. If you are happy, we are happy. That is body. We are brothers and sisters. If we would dare to open up to each other, if we dare to put down them barriers that the enemy want to keep us a prisoner, to separate, that we would reach out. We all hurt. We all hurt. Only if we could put our pride to the side and love each other. Persevere and overcome. Suffering produces perseverance. Paul walked in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we are called to do the same. Despite opposition, Paul always overcame. He always persevered, therefore he always overcame. What is the difference between success and failure? It's getting up one more time than you fall. That's it, friends. Paul comprehended that this was a race to be run, not a sprint, but a marathon. The long haul. He had already decided, and he was looking to the finish line, and he was not letting anything get in the way. He decided beforehand, you see, because he knew God was good, and God is good, and God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. He cannot disown himself, and you're sealed with his Spirit if you know him this morning, and that is good news. That is good news, brothers and sisters. Good news. How did Paul overcome? He placed his trust fully in Jesus Christ, in the finished work of the cross. Where is our trust placed this morning? What are we trusting in this morning? Would we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he is trustworthy. Christ was with Paul in his sufferings through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you take the Holy Spirit out of the Apostle Paul, you have the Pharisee who was sat at another Sanhedrin trial holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. And Paul recognized this. Perseverance produces maturity. Paul could persevere because he knew Jesus Christ. Do we know Jesus Christ this morning? Paul was never a victim of circumstance. Paul was an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And we are called to be the same. He comprehended this race. He understood it. Do we understand that we're in a marathon, friends? Brian, like we're on that push bike, doing them 60, 70 miles yesterday. You've got a few thousand to go, brother. We're in a race, the long haul. It's a race to be won, not to partake in, not to make up the numbers, not to roll with it like a stone, but to be involved. He was tenacious. He realized suffering was part of his experience. Do we understand that this morning? Ray, remember, set your face like flint. Paul set his face like flint and he persevered. He was tenacious. He didn't give in despite opposition. He enjoyed suffering. Counted it a privilege that God chose him to share in Christ's suffering. Press the wrong button, went backwards. I'll read it out, it's jumping. We are not victims, but overcomers. Do we, like Paul, count it a privilege to suffer? Paul knew his calling, his reason for living, for being alive. Do we know God's will? Many people say to me, I don't know what God's will is. Well, in Thessalonians 1, chapter 5, it helps us out. It tells us what it is. Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul said, brothers, I've lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. Yes, our conscience alone cannot be fully trusted, but aligned under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and washed in His blood. Like Paul, we can look people in the eye and say, I've lived my life before God with a clean conscience. Before I was saved, before I knew the mercy of God, I could never look people in the eye, because I was guilty. The man motions with his feet, winks with his eye, talks about him in Proverbs. That was me. That's most people you meet. They don't want to look you in the eye, because their conscience isn't good before God. But through His grace, through His mercy, we not only can look each other in the eye, we can look the world in the eye and get it one more time than we fall and persevere and carry on.
Yeah.
Because of Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He was punched in the face like Christ for sharing this truth of His testimony. He was guilty before He had spoken. He exposed His trial as a sham. Soon as He opened His mouth, they struck Him. Kangaroo court. Guilty. Spiritual opposition. All opposition in this life has its origin in the spiritual realm. We are either for God or we're against Him. There's no sitting on the fence. There's no not voting, like in the referendum. Oh, I don't really know. The Bible tells us you're either on God's side or you're on Satan's side. That's it, friends. We're either for Him or we're against Him. That's tough, isn't it? But that's what the Word of God says. Let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. Even when it's uncomfortable, this is the Word of God. We have an adversary called Satan. We are his enemies. Why? I haven't done anything wrong. Well, he despises mankind because we're made in the image of God. The Bible tells us. And he despises Christians even more because we've experienced salvation, which is not available for him or his demons. Hell is a place that's created for Satan and the fallen angels. It's not created for man. The Bible is very clear on this. God doesn't want any person to go to hell, but all should receive mercy by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ on His death and resurrection. It's that simple, my friends. But the Spirit that was in Paul that enabled him to testify was the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, fully God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And it is stronger than the Spirit in this world. And the spirit that is in you and me, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is stronger than the spirit of this world and the prince of this world, which is Satan. Take courage and testify. Paul knew his accusers as well. Before his conversion, he was being groomed probably as the next high priest. And as I said earlier, Paul was struck on the mouth as soon as he opened it. Paul had been found guilty before they'd even heard his defense. The trial was a sham. Paul called the high priest a hypocrite, a whitewashed wall, similar to what Jesus called the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. These graves in certain feasts used to whitewash the top of the grave so it wouldn't be offensive, but inside was rotting flesh and bones. What a picture. Washed on the outside, but full of rotten corpses inside. This is what Jesus described the Pharisees as. And this is what Paul was before he received his mercy. This is what we were before we received the mercy of God. They were whitewashed, but not washed white. The only difference is that we're washed white in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I can look at people in the eye because I've been forgiven. Because he loves me, I can love. Does it make me perfect? No. But it makes me want to be perfect. That is grace. And grace is Jesus. By grace you have been saved, and that's a gift of God. If you take that chapter in Ephesians to its root, grace is Jesus Christ. That is the gift. And a gift is something that we need to receive. You can't buy it, friends. You just have to accept it. Have you accepted that gift of Jesus Christ today? If you haven't, now is the time to consider it. It's the best thing you ever did. I'm on trial because I believe in the resurrection. This caused obvious division, and the uproar was so violent the Roman tribune ordered the soldiers to take Paul back to the barracks, because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection and the Sadducees didn't. And Jesus stood alongside of Paul. Just as you testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify about me in Rome. Peter, Louise, just as you testified about Jesus in Skopje, you will testify about him in Kiev. What a privilege. God bless you. Who is the Lord asking you to testify with or to? And the testimony, it's not about how good or bad we are. Many people have said to me, I wish that I had your testimony. And I've always said, no, you don't. You really don't. And I always said, I wish I had your testimony. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that we're all sinners. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we're all guilty. So our testimony isn't about how good or bad we have been. About how good Jesus Christ has been on the cross. If you're saved, you have that testimony. That's it. Share that testimony, because God is with us. And on that basis, all of our testimonies are worthy and worthy of sharing. Sharing our life in its fullness, including our trials, tribulations, and sorrows. In fact, I think they're even more powerful. Because we sometimes portray this picture like we're all having it all together. And the fact of the matter is that we all hurt. We're all suffering. Either we have been, or going to. Because God promises us that. So if we would open up to each other and share our weaknesses, so God's power can be made perfect. I think that's what draws people to us the most. Not how good we are, or how bad we were, but how good God is. And how good as God has been to you, to me, and to us. So quickly, bringing it to a conclusion. Suffering is part of the Christian life. He is trustworthy. Let us put our trust in him. We must persevere and overcome. We, like Paul, are called to be overcomers because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are not victims, but overcomers. I'd like you to repeat that, please. I am not a victim.
I am not a victim.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
In him.
In him.
Oops. Take courage and testify. Let us take the opportunity to share our testimony this week. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're with us in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, like Christ, like Paul, we are called to suffer. But you're not punishing us because you love us, O Lord, that we would be your children and conform to the image of your Son. Give us opportunities this week to share this wonderful truth, your amazing love. Show us, give us the courage to share, even in our weakness, especially in our weakness. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.